Hello, everybody, and welcome back to I'm Sorry Dad podcast with your boy Radoon and Brandon Cavillo. Hope you're having a good week. We got a fun episode for you today. Before we get into it, special announcement. We are doing a live podcast on Cinco de Mayo. More like Cinco de Hayo. Live podcast, baby. That was obnoxious. It's at 7 p.m. at the Hollywood Improv. Tickets are only $10, and I'll put a link in the description of this episode once the club makes it. So just be aware, Cinco de Mayo live podcast in L.A. at the Hollywood Improv. Click a link in the bio soon. If you're listening on Thursday, I'm assuming the link will be there. All right, thank you so much. Also, this Friday, I have a show in Pasadena, California, this Friday, April 12th at the Ice House Comedy Club, 10 p.m. on Stage 2, and it's free! There's a link for free tickets in the bio. So this Friday, yeah, come check me out. I'm doing some stand-up. Then also this Sunday, I'm in the Palm Desert at the Hood Bar and Pizzeria. Sunday, I think that's a 9 p.m. show. You just buy $5 tickets at the door at the Hood Bar and Pizzeria this Sunday on your way back from Coachella. Good God! I might be hitting awful traffic. I'm going to Coachella land, but not going to Coachella. I'm doing a bar show instead. That's my Coachella weekend. I'm not really selling this gig, but check me out. Go to that show. All right. Our guests today are Victoria Fratz and Aaron Fradkin. Damn it. I can't say his name. You'll see it on this episode. Victoria Fratz and Aaron Fradkin. Two producers, directors, writers, actors, and they have a new movie out called Electric Love. And we talk about that. We talk about dating and dating apps. We tell some fun dating stories, yada, yada, yada. You'll hear it. But check out their movie, Electric Love. It's available on iTunes, Amazon, and wherever you rent or buy movies. And a link for their trailer is in this description. So check it out. I got some friends in the movie. My friends made it. I went to the premiere. It's really good. I was really impressed with how awesome this movie is. So check it out. I think you guys will like it. Email us anytime you want at imsorrydadpod@gmail.com. We want to answer your emails and give you some bad advice or good advice. You can send us anything you want. Send us some weird videos of some random shit that maybe we can joke about. imsorrydadpod@gmail.com. Rate and review. Please just love us. Just love me. And enjoy this episode with Victoria Fratz and Aaron Fradkin. Hi, Brandon.
Hi, Ryan.
Hey, we're here with two very special guests.
Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's their intro.
Writers, producers, directors, actors, Victoria Fratz and Aaron Fradkin. I almost said Franklin. Welcome.
Thank you.
Benjamin Franklin.
Thank you for having us.
So honored that my name was said correctly.
Victoria Fratz. Pretty easy.
I just go by Fradskin.
Yeah. Would that be your celebrity couple's name? Because you are a couple.
That we are.
Couple of idiots.
Fuck yeah, man. I don't know, it sounds too much like foreskin, though, so no. No, just Fradkin and Fratz separated.
Fradskin. If one of you guys have a baby soon, you got to cut off the foreskin on his cock? Speaking of foreskin.
Well, that's if it's a boy.
Either one.
That's actually a good question. Yeah. I've been wanting to talk about that. yes, I fully intend on circumcising my children.
I haven't thought too much about.
Ooh, this is the argument we were talking about. This is going to start the argument.
Peni, but we can definitely discuss that further, privately or publicly. That's great.
Ooh, I see some tension. It would be cool if you guys broke up on this episode.
Yeah,
as I suggested before we recorded, Aaron, if you could cry, that'd help get the news.
Yeah, I think I've cried twice that I can remember.
Oh man.
He's a tough one. I try every day. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
I'm not even bragging. I've actually tried to cry. Because like I want to feel more a lot of the times. It helps as a writer to feel things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wish I could cry more.
That's interesting. Yeah. I want to have the audience know more about you soon, but I want to hear more about the two times you cried.
Yeah.
Well, when was this?
Well,
your foreskin was slipped off?
I cried once in front of you.
That's correct. Aww. I made him cry once. Unintentionally.
Were these tears of joy?
No.
I punched him in the stomach.
I guess it felt freeing. What was even the reason?
I felt terrified. So yeah. when you're with someone who genuinely never cries or is that emotional and then they cry, yeah. it is very upsetting.
That's why you. I did it. I knew it would have an effect. Nice. The first time I cried, though, I was, I think I was in second grade, and my mom was late picking me up.
Mm, that'll do it.
Yeah.
It's like being lost at a grocery store.
Yeah.
You think like they're gone forever.
You're like a dog at that point. You have like the brain of a dog. You're like, they're never coming back.
And lo and behold, that was the last time you ever saw your mom. Yeah. Right?
And then that's why you can't cry anymore.
Yes, that's the last time I saw my mother. Yes.
Cool. Well, thank you for the crying stories. I cried recently to Aquaman.
No, you didn't.
I did. I've been going through a little rough patch, which I'm not going to publicly speak of, but
okay.
I had a confusing night. I had sex with a guy, and it just really got to my head.
Sure.
What does this have to do with Aquaman?
I just was like, man, he's really hot. And I was like, fuck, I'm gay. And, you know, being gay is awful.
Yeah, no, totally.
Just kidding.
Especially in Hollywood.
Yeah, totally. It's like, I'm a straight white male. I need to, this is a gold mine for Hollywood. I got to stay this way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, just kidding.
You're exactly what they want right now.
Totally. White man in his 30s.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of, I hate women, too. That's in
okay,
right
but
now.
We started at why you cried in Aquaman, and now it's you hate women. Why did you cry in Aquaman?
Well, the truest part of the story is I cried during Aquaman. The rest is, I made that up.
Oh, got it. Why did you cry? What part of Aquaman?
I am going through a little bit of rough patch that I can't, that I don't want to talk about.
Oh, it was specific to that rough patch?
Yes.
It was like a personal thing? How is it, isn't that movie about fighting like fish in the
fighting?
Sea? Yeah, like epic underwater battles with shrimp, and you're crying?
I cried when the main Aqua Queen, the Aquaman's mom, was reunited with her lover.
That was a sad and touching moment.
It was, yeah. Aaron, you look very uncomfortable.
Well, you're serious.
Yeah.
You cried during Aquaman.
Yeah. You're still baffled by it. I kind of am too.
No, I'm just kidding about you being uncomfortable. It's just like I can tell this isn't resonating with you because you have no heart.
I'm just shocked. I'm just shocked, to be honest.
Anyways. Speaking of movies, transition, Aquaman, you two are writers, directors, actors, like I said, but you are here primarily, sorry, my mic went out for a sec, because you got a new movie out called Electric Love, available on Amazon. Where else?
Amazon, iTunes, Fandango, Comcast, Spectrum, DirecTV, Vimeo, you know, if you just call me, I'll yeah. like... pigeon mail you one. Is that what you call it?
What's your
carrier pigeon?
Carrier pigeon.
Yeah, what's there you go. I'm there. Yeah.
What's your Instagram handle?
Oh, it's at I'm Victoria Fratz. Follow me, like everything, comment because you know about that engagement, and then rent my movie, please, and thank you so much.
Yeah, DM Victoria. DM,
slide into the DMs. If it's a good message, I will read it. If it's not, I'll pretend like I never saw it. That's what we all do, right?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, and I saw this movie. I was very impressed. It's like usually when one of your friends makes a movie, it's good, but it's like I can tell like their cameras sucked or like something like that. But yours, Electric Love, legit.
Thank you. You know,
legit
that,
camera.
That seems to be the reaction of most people, which is, wow, your movie wasn't shitty.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm flattered, of course. At the same time, I'm like, you know, like. I spend 2 years working on this thing. I hope it's not shitty.
Well, have you made a movie before?
I made one when I was 22.
Okay.
I'm 30 now.
All right.
So this is my second feature. But yeah, it's that seems to be like a common comment. Your movie was not shit.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I remember during the writing process, I would tell my family, "Oh, I'm making a movie. I'm making a a full length movie." And I think my mom's exact words were, "Aw."
Yeah.
Cute.
Right.
Oh, adorable.
She's in the room writing.
Yeah.
No, I really, it took another year and a half to prove everyone that we made something. So
I'll
now there's compliment.
You.
Yeah, I'll show you. I'll make this. And yeah, that is, it actually is a nice compliment when they say, oh, I thought you were just making some little, but this is real. This is a thing. And, yeah, and you're in it too. And I'm like, yes.
Yep.
Yes. Mm. Period. Yes. That's what I've been trying to say.
It is a full length goddamn feature. And it's about, give a synopsis of the film.
Well, it's as simply put, it's about dating apps, mm-hmm. Specifically dating apps in Los Angeles. And the sort of genesis of the story came about when I spent years of my life using Tinder, not Grindr so much, although I had a roommate who did use Grindr.
He was probably way more successful in getting laid.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Gay people are really good at getting laid.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I was so frustrated dating and I was so frustrated being a single guy in Los Angeles.
That you were like, fine, I'll settle for Victoria.
Yes. Right. And I tell her that every day.
Every day. Daily.
And she wasn't happy about that. And we got into a big fight and then I cried the second time in my life.
Oh, there we go. Happened.
But yeah, it was, you know, it sounds funny and it sounds lame because everyone has, you know, dating, you know, frustrations, but when you're in the thick of it, you know, and you go year after year after year, just dealing with rejection and failure and, you know, asking yourself, like, why is it so hard to meet someone and why, like, what's wrong with me? It became like a very cathartic experience to write this movie. And so I just poured all those frustrations into this script. And it was around that time that I met Victoria. We fell madly in love. And then she helped write the second draft, nice. Which really brought home like the female perspective of things because mm-hmm. my first draft
was a porn.
It was just very male centric. Yes. Yeah. And if it were a porn, it would definitely be for guys, not girls.
Four guys? Like group sex?
Yeah, at least four. Minimum of four.
I'm not going to give you that one. I'm not slapping your hand for that one.
Is that a dad joke? It's like...
It's just a bad joke.
That's like a pun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Puns are the highest form of comedy.
Yeah, but the dad community wouldn't even find that one funny, I don't think.
Well, if you ever need a writer. <'cause you're laughs> dads. Yeah, I feel you with the whole dating app scene. I've done it. I've met, you know, my girlfriend on it. Good and bad things have happened, but I think a lot of people can definitely relate to dating mishaps and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. And we tried to, you know, really like dive into the subtleties of dating and sort of what goes wrong, especially in new relationships. Because oftentimes a relationship will end and you'll ask yourself, like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I like this person. I think they liked me. Why didn't this work out?
Right.
And so we sort of delved into how easy it is to miscommunicate things.
Yeah. Mm. Especially like texting and messaging.
Exactly. And technology plays a huge part in the film.
Yep. Mm. Do you guys have any specific like dating horror stories from dating apps? And Brandon, while they discuss, think of some of yours.
Well, you're the guru.
You're the whore.
You're the whore in the group.
You know, well, we have a scene in the movie. Victoria doesn't think this is that weird of a story, but I was kind of caught off guard at the time when I was on a date with this girl and we were going to move to a different bar. And she asked me if she could just take a picture of my identification and then text it to a friend. And, you know, we've done like Q&As at film festivals and I've asked people like, is this normal? And most women are like, yeah, I mean, that seems pretty normal.
Really?
And in my personal opinion, I think it's normal for girls, especially to text their friends and say, hey, this is where I'm at just in case anything happens. Mm. But to then ask the guy to like take photographic proof of your identification.
That's not cool.
Yeah, like that didn't make me feel comfortable, but she actually asked me to do that before like we walked to the next location. So I thought that was kind of weird, and we actually put that into the movie. That was a true story.
That's right.
I'll add that is that's like more on the end, like the extreme end.
Yeah.
But and yeah, like to just text a friend and say I'm here. This is what time I'm going to be here, and if you don't hear from me by blank, please text me. That's much more common.
Totally.
But would I personally be offended if I were a man and this happened? I don't think so. But I was still just like, no, that is extreme.
I don't think I'd be offended. I'd be weirded out.
Yeah.
And concerned. Like, oh, is she going to like steal my identity?
Well, there is a lot of like personal information on there too. There's, are you a donor? Social security. Your address. Is it, your social's not on there, is it?
I think
it might have just been an identity thief. Just she probably just stole your identity and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
Probably fucking started four businesses with your name in it.
Is that why I had to get a new credit card?
Is that why I'm $500,000 in debt? That
makes sense now. that same girl actually... at the second location, at one point during our second drink, said, one moment, I have to go to the bathroom. And so I'm just, you know, waiting for about 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes.
What?
And then she comes back and is like, so, remember earlier in the night when I told you I was, like, talking to, you know, my ex, and I'm still not really over him? Well, yeah, I'm just not over him, and I don't think that this is going to work out. Huh. So we can continue the date if you want, but... I was just planning on leaving. And it was at that point where I was just like, do whatever you want. I have to delete Tinder. I don't like this. This isn't making me feel good about myself. And I think it was sort of around that time where I was like, I have to just write a movie about this.
Yeah.
Cause it hasn't been done accurately. It hasn't been done in a real way.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's usually, I found it's usually like way over the top. Like, oh, she doesn't look like her pick.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wonder what she was in the bathroom. I wonder what she did for that half hour.
Probably called her friend.
Cried her ex. I miss you so much.
Probably ran a background check on me.
He's terrible.
He's nothing like you.
Yeah.
His eye color is a lie on his ID. Right. He's lying.
Wow. I had a girl. I saw her giving out her phone number to another guy during a date.
On what?
Yeah. She.
Where were you in relation to the room? Was it directly in front of you, or was
no,
it across?
No,
we were on a date with this girl.
Yeah,
we were. Oh wow. My God,
I was on a date, but I also might have had it was a question whether or not I was going up at the Comedy Store. So I was like, "Is it cool if we just like hang at the Comedy Store? I might have to work." It was like kind of not a great date on my part. It's like, let's go here and wait. But anyways, I went to go check with the host to see if I was going up. I came back, see her handing a phone back to a guy who was on the street, and she was on the patio, like facing, like that overhangs the street.
Right.
And I just saw that. And I was like, ooh? And I went over and was like, did you just give your number to a guy? She was like, no. She was young.
Oh, and a like, man, clearly.
She was a guy.
With a beard.
She was really too young for me. I was super single. I was just like, oh, let's go on a date with this hot girl. So she got mad, just in defense. She didn't know what to do. And I was like, I think you just gave your number to a guy. She was like, let's go to the bar. And I was just like,
drink it all away.
And then I was like, you just gave your number to a guy. You're on a date. Like, you shouldn't do that. She was like, oh, I know. I'm sorry. And then it just became like, well, I think this date's over. And then she stormed off.
And see, when you tell us this story, and if you were to watch this story played out in a film, you would find it hilarious.
Yeah.
Because it's funny. But when it's actually happening, it's real and it's frustrating and it hurts.
You know what? In that moment, I recognized how funny it was and I did think it was funny, but I was also like pissed. Right. And also just like, come on. Just like, what the fuck are you, idiot?
I think that's the benefit of being a comedian is being able to find the funny in things that aren't.
For instance, one of my friends hacked my Facebook and posted a message of me coming out of the closet. And it was like genuine. And now, some people from back home think I'm gay. But I was like, all right, that was funny. And I don't care if they think I'm gay or not.
Yeah, you should just let them think that.
Yeah, you know? I actually deleted my account because it was my personal page. Haven't posted in like 3 years. I was like, I'll just go out. I'll go out gay.
My parents thought I was gay for a couple days.
That's right.
When in high school, it was like funny to go on someone's Facebook or, Facebook at the time. Maybe this was college, and, you know, make a status that says I like men.
Yeah.
And then post it. And my parents saw that, and they actually apparently had a long, serious conversation with each other about, like, the conversation they're going to have with me. And, they told me this, you know, like, years later, that this was happening. It was kind of funny that my parents actually had to, you know, endure that and actually like prepare and talk about it with themselves seriously a couple of days.
Like, how do we kick him out for being gay? Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I think they came to the conclusion that they would accept me and love me regardless, which was a sweet sentiment, but yeah.
That's funny. Victoria, do you have any Date fails.
Dating fails. I was actually just thinking about how the experience was so different for me. So you guys gave two great examples of two guys who are on dates. And it sounds as if you were looking to, you know, you're out there trying to actually make a connection with someone. That's why you were upset that the girl gave her number to somebody else, because now it's like, all right, well, that's annoying. And then you have this same sort of situation. This girl is like veering off. When I would go on dates, it felt like just pure sexual. So like everyone was just looking to hook up, and I never met anyone that wanted to date me. I was like, this is what it is. What's going, what's wrong? I don't know. Am I putting out those vibes? It was really disheartening, and it felt really almost like this is, I don't want to be that. Like, I'm not trying to go out on these types of dates. I'm just not going to date at all. And then when I did go on the dates, the guys were always just talking about themselves to, you know, no end. It was like this and that and that and that. And then I would try and contribute, and it was, you know, words falling on deaf ears. So we put that in the movie, and I that's actually my favorite scene, because that's what I experienced the most when I moved to Los Angeles. I'm like, oh, hi, I'm Victoria. Hi, nice to meet you. And then it was immediately like, they are not listening. They're not even looking at me. They're looking at the bartender. They're looking across the room. They're like, do you want another drink? Sure, sure, sure. And then here's my resume of where I live, and this house I've renovated, and this is mine, and this is mine, and that's mine, and these are the, and it was, and that was that. That was the date. I know all about a lot of different guys' assets from dating in Los Angeles.
That's funny. You'd think if they were trying to get laid, you know, you got to ask the girl questions.
You would think. Maybe I'm just really boring. Maybe I suck.
You definitely don't.
You're
suck.
Stuck with me.
They're taking the approach of just trying to impress you.
An advertisement that says, please fuck me. Just a giant billboard.
It's like a little like highlight reel. I was like, oh, I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask.
Brandon, do you have any date fails?
I've had a few bad dates, but the worst one was the one that I had with the one that you went on the date with. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Because we dated the same person. I only dated her once. Like, I went on one date with her. But it's not like this weird, like, oh, you went out with my ex. It wasn't like even an ex, really, I don't think.
No. Right?
So it was it was just a series of, it wasn't even like one specific thing. It was just like, I knew from the, when I got to the date, she was with like five of her friends. And like just walking down Hollywood Boulevard, she was like, I always stick up for my friends. I always stick up for them. We can't get in this club. I will always stick up for them. I'm like, cool. My name is Brandon. nice to meet you. And we keep walking down, and then she's just like talking about like how, what a good friend she is. And I'm like, that's really cool. Like, what do you do? Like, you know, that stuff. Like, I want to know more about you. Yeah. And then we go to this bar, and then we're just like talking. And then somewhere or another, she calls me like misogynistic. And I'm like, what? She's like, you're misogynist. It was something I said. And she was like, you're misogynist. I said, no, I'm not. And she was like, yeah, you are. And we just like kept going back and forth for a while.
It's a nice talk.
And then I was like, I don't even remember what it was. I just remember it like took me aback. I was like, what? And she was like, yeah. And I said, no. She was like, no, but yeah. And I was like, I want to leave. And so basically I just ended up leaving. But like,
after hitting her.
Yeah, of course. And then we're in her. She drives me home, or I drive her home. And I'm like, I guess I should try to kiss her. I mean, that was like weird, but it was also like weird in like a weird sexually tense kind of way. Like, even though we were having like a discussion about misogyny, it was still like kind of, she was, I could still like sense something.
Seems like the next logical move, I think.
Yeah, I know, right? After an argument on the first date, just, I should probably try and kiss her. And I tried, we did kiss, and I was like, oh no, fuck, this even sucks. Like, the actual kissing, like, just sucked. I don't even know why. It was the worst kiss I ever had. And I was like, oh man. And it was just it was less of like a, man, that was like all your guys' stories had one specific thing. This was just like a fucking like nosedive. It was like watching a hurricane. It was like a dumpster fire.
I dated that girl as well. I know who he's talking about. I've kissed her. Maybe I'm a bad kisser, because I thought she was a good kisser.
Oh, I didn't think so at all.
Let's find out if I'm a bad kisser and kiss me.
Whoa.
Just took his tongue out. I almost licked your tongue, bro.
I wish you did.
But that girl.
Yeah.
She's not nice.
Yeah, that's the vibe I got from her. I'm like, you just don't seem like a very kind human being.
I offended her on one date. I was dropping her off after spending the night. Yeah, buddy.
Fuck yeah, man. Sex.
And then I was like, something like, want to get some brunch or something? Or some, we were talking, discussing brunch, and I was like, oh, we can get some mimosas. And she was like, well, you have to drive. And I was like, oh, just drive drunk. And she was like, don't joke about that. I was like, oh, sorry. And that, like, turned me off.
It was the same thing with
me.
I
know driving drunk is, like, not, like, I wouldn't do it. It's not funny to do it in real life.
Right. Yeah.
But I can make a quick joke about it. Jesus Christ. So I slapped her.
And pushed her back in the kitchen to make that brunch.
Fuck yeah. But what were you going
to
say?
No, I was just about to say, it was the same thing that happened with me. It was the same, like, I made a joke, and then she called me a misogynist. And I was like,
so it sounds like she probably just doesn't have a sense of humor, this person. Yeah.
I was like, part of your brain doesn't work. Like, it's literally like a sense. Like, you have to sense that I'm kidding. Like, if I was, or Rye, like, if we were actually being serious, like, come on. It's like literally like, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you. She's a hot girl.
Yeah.
Who didn't have to develop those skills.
Oh, she was super
how are
hot.
You, how are you so personable? Because you are just so good looking. Is that charming or?
Thank you. Wait.
Are you upset?
No, I'm actually happy because now she's going to be in a good mood the rest of the day. So,
don't be thank such you, a sir. But sorry, Rye, you were saying something about how sparkling my personality and looks are.
Yes,
please.
You're very personable and charming and kind. What?
Thank you.
What went wrong? Why did you have to develop those skills? Because you're also slamming hot.
Yeah. Why'd you have to settle for me?
Baby.
Aww.
So I guess the question is, how am I so good looking and also cool?
Yeah.
Jeez, where do we even begin? I can't speak to my looks, but I just really like to work, and working usually. You open doors if you meet people. The best thing you're going to do in the entertainment industry is get to know people and like collaborate and work with them. And so if you suck as a human, you're not going to meet too many people. You're not going to build those relationships and friendships. And then, you know, you can go fast alone, but you can go far together.
So you're smiling.
I got that from a Wells Fargo advertisement.
So you're always nice and friendly to me. Now I know that that's all fake.
It's, I'm using you for this collaboration that we're doing.
It's a strategy.
Yeah. Actually, as I'm saying that, like, of course I'm joking, but in the social media world, which I know we all are in, it's like, I don't even want to make that joke because it's so real. It's such a very real thing, that tit for tat type of thing in social media. Rye, I actually really like you and I'm really happy we're friends.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
I like you, hate you, Aaron.
I'm sorry, Aaron.
Thank you, Rye. Thank you. I love you regardless.
Oh, shit. That makes me feel bad. So let's talk more about the movie.
Yeah.
What's it like to fucking make a movie?
Yeah.
Like, what are the good parts? What are the bad parts? I'm more interested in the bad parts, to be honest. Anything bad happen? Like, actor and comedian Fahim Anwar just, like, threw a drink in somebody's face? He's in the movie.
Wait, I have a funny story. It's embarrassing though. Is that okay to? That's the best kind.
No. Don't tell embarrassing stories.
I've been thinking of this story for a little while, and I really hope that Fahim listens to this because we can just bask in my embarrassment together. So he comes to set, and I'm the producer, and so I always feel, of my many jobs on set, one of my jobs is to make everyone feel really comfortable, really at home. And so I think I like ran out and got everyone coffee and like tacos and whatever. And then he had a really, really long monologue. I'm talking like pages of monologue. And he only had gotten the text a few days prior. So he had even like expressed to me, or maybe his manager did, I can't recall, that it was a lot and he was going to do his absolute best. But, you know, like just be prepared on set that it's just a lot of text. And I totally understand. So we're there, and just the way that we're sitting, like, pretend you're Fahim and I'm me. You know, he's speaking to the camera and he's doing his work, and I'm just sitting right here, like right in his peripheral vision. And for me, I find it much easier to remember things by like physical motions. So I start like miming things that are part of his text, like, because I think I'm helping him. And I'm doing this for a really long time. And he's so polite, he for like half an hour says nothing until finally like the whole room is dead silent. He looks at me, he's like, can you please stop that? And I felt like shamed, like a child in class, like called out by the teacher. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And of course, he was very polite and he's lovely. I love him. But I was like, I'll just get everyone more tacos. Bye.
I never even knew this.
You didn't know that?
No. And I was,
I'm directing.
I should be watching you saying, stop that.
Well, no, I was off to the side and I was just like, you know, I'm sitting there. I was doubling as like the script supervisor as well, and so I'm like going through everything, and every time it, what was it, like dropping the truth bomb and the beret, whatever, I'm just like tipping my hat and like doing little like mime dances.
I just picture you as like a proud
side.
Like soccer mom, like, yeah, just like cheering
another
on
line.
Fahim.
Like even if I thought the lines should be delivered strongly, I'd be like, like doing all this like jazz hands off to the side. Yeah. And then he's like, please stop.
Can you please stop?
And to this day, it still haunts me. I'm like, that's why he hasn't come to the premiere. That's, he doesn't, because I made all the hand movements. He hasn't watched the movie because he hated how many hand movements I made.
He doesn't need you to sign the script.
I know. I was like, sign language. But no, I don't think anyone else noticed it. But do you ever just have those little embarrassing things where it's like, you're like, everyone saw me embarrass myself.
Oh. Yep. Anything else? But I totally can relate. Like when, especially when you're trying to help and then someone's like, please stop.
Please stop being kind. Stop it. I'm ashamed of you. Get out of here.
I guess, you know, the same way I say that I wish I could cry more, I wish I could say that I had more bad experiences on set because it would be way more interesting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, way more of a learning experience, I suppose. But I think everything seemed to go pretty smooth on this
one. That's good.
I did tell Victoria, you seem doubtful in that.
No, I'm like looking up to the sky, like, what did happen? I mean, we certainly had plenty of little...
There were a couple of fires that we had to put out, but nothing like... completely like, you know, unexpected. I did tell Victoria before we started shooting, be prepared to lose friends, because when you set out to make such like an epic project or production, you're gonna piss off someone.
You're definitely gonna upset some people.
It's completely unintentional, but you know, there's so many egos. You're dealing with like 30, 40 egos all in this one project, and everyone has a point of view. Everyone, you know, has stake in it. Like their face is in it, their name is on it. And so you're just kind of like juggling all of that at once. And it's very easy to piss someone off unintentionally. Yeah.
Well, how was it working creatively as a couple?
Oh, that's a really good one.
Yeah. Cause that's like, cause when you're doing, like, I wrote a movie with a friend and we, at the end of it, we were like kind of at each other's throats. And even when we were making it, actually, when we were making it, we weren't, but when we were writing it, we were. So like, how was that for you guys? Were you guys like totally cool the whole time, or was it like causing some tension?
That comment feels pretty close to home. I'll say like when we were writing, you know, because we're both drawing from our romantic escapades. And we were also brand new at dating. So we like just started dating. It was like, hello, nice to meet you. Let's start writing and being in a team together. Like basically. So I think that it did start getting more tense. Now Aaron's been writing professionally for a little bit longer than me. So maybe he was able to compartmentalize. He also doesn't cry. So like it's easier for him. But, I was starting to be like, no, you don't understand. You know, it's two leads. So it's like a male lead and a female lead. And I started feeling really frustrated when the male lead is almost just like perfect, like walking on air. He's, everything he does is just, it's totally understandable. And then it's the girl who's constantly making the mistakes. And I'm like, well, Adam's not perfect. You know, Adam also makes mistakes, blah, blah, blah. And those were the parts that would really frustrate me with the writing, because I wanted it to be really balanced. You know, I want the girl, at the one point, the girl like really does some kind of aggressive stuff, and the guy is just always like, I didn't even know what was going on. I was just an innocent. I'm like, no, he needs to be bad too sometimes.
And again, like the whole purpose of the film and the story that we were writing is how easy it is to misconstrue and misinterpret information. And how there's also two sides to every story and perspectives change. And so even like when we would have an argument, I would kind of try to remind us, like, this argument right here is a perfect example of what it is that we're trying to write about. So let's sort of like, you know, expound on this and like, what am I trying to say here? And what are you trying to say here? And let's infuse these motives into the characters that we're writing, if that makes sense. You know, because none of the characters that we wrote are necessarily wrong. They're not necessarily right. It's just all about, you know, how things are perceived and how things are misinterpreted. And that oftentimes leads to drama.
Yeah.
I liked how you guys, like, because whenever, like, you showed, what's the main characters' names?
Adam and Emma.
Emma. Mm-hmm. Like, you'd show Emma talking about Adam to her friends and getting the girl's perspective.
Yeah.
Right. I love stuff like that. And then Adam with his friends. Whenever I'm chatting with the girl, I know she's showing her friends.
Yeah.
If she gives a shit. And like, what are the friends saying?
You better hope she's showing those friends.
Yeah.
I always assume like they'll show a friend a pic, like, oh yeah, he's cute. But with Brandon, it's like, oh, he's tall, and that's all I care about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's really, they don't even have to text. They just show a photo, and it's like, oh, this is his height.
He's cute, but he looks under 6 feet, so don't.
Yeah.
But no, it was cool to get both perspectives, and I enjoyed it.
How is it making, you guys shot digitally?
We did.
You did? Okay.
Couldn't afford to shoot on film.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to say. How is it? Because this is a lower budget movie. Mm-hmm. How is it shooting with a lower? I don't know how low the budget was, but how is it shooting with like that much constraint financially? Was it made it more difficult? I mean.
Well, I think we're pretty comfortable at this point to say what our budget was, right?
Yeah, totally.
And I think it's actually helps us to tell you guys what the budget is, because then I hope you guys all watch it and then say, oh, okay, so they did this with that. And that's,
yeah, yeah.
That's more. It wasn't $1 million. It was around closing at about 100K to all in.
Really?
It's cheap. Yeah.
That is very cheap.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa. And so we wore many, many hats. We did the best we could. Yeah. The limitations, I think, you know, I'll give some props to our cast and our crew on how easygoing they were with, we didn't have a lot of luxury on set. You know, there is no money for luxury when you are on that type of budget. Every single extra penny has to go towards production value, production value, production value. Mm. So, you know, our lead actress, Mia Serafino, she's the coolest girl in the world. She's changing clothes in the backseat of her car. Eric Griffin is changing in an office, a manager's office at a mechanic shop on the street, because we didn't have a green room. You know, we didn't have those luxuries. I wish to God I could have given them to them, but we just didn't have the money to rent a trailer or to get some sort of like pop-up tent, because then you need a permit for that sidewalk that you're going to block. You know, we didn't
really lucked out. Like, our entire cast was super cool it all.
Yeah.
And that was just lucky. I mean, I'm sure we could have found ourselves in a situation where we hire an actor, you know, and they're... CAA agent sends them to set, and then like they're changing in a mechanic
shop. This is their rider. They need only red M&Ms.
Everyone was just super cool and super down and just open and excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's the best part about making something with a little money, is that every person becomes part of the crew in a way.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, I shoot like, it's not the same caliber, but I shoot like little short films, and we the actors sometimes have to hold the reflector. Sometimes they have to. Sometimes they actually hit slate it up. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, if we don't have a lot of people, it's like, that's what we have to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's just like, I can imagine for a feature film, it's just like, wait, how long did you guys film for, though?
21 days.
21 days.
Yeah.
It was actually like 19 days of principal photography, and then I think there were like one or two pickups later on.
Yeah.
We had Fahim's day, and then like one more Eric's day.
And who's the lead actress?
Mia Serafino.
She's cute.
Yeah, she's the best.
Yeah, she's cool.
She's fantastic.
She's another one who it's just like, any minute the whole entire world is going to know her name, because she's not only such an amazing, talented actress, she also studies her craft. She's constantly practicing that muscle. And then she's really cool and nice on set. She's never going to bring that diva attitude. She's just the nicest person. Like, exactly as beautiful as she is on the outside, that's also on the inside. She's just like, I love you. Like, I love you a lot. And everyone loves her in the movie. So I'm like, Mia, if you're listening, I love you, by the way. Hmm. Let's be besties. We already are. Yeah.
Mia, what's up? Come on the podcast. Although I'm 5'9".
But I'm 6'2".
I don't know why I brought dating into it. I guess we're talking about dating. I guess that's why. And who's the actor? Actor? Zachary Morin. He was good, too.
Oh, yeah. He's been a good friend of, well, I mean, yours for longer than me.
Yeah, I've known Zach for like 6 years now, I think.
Sweet.
Yeah. He was one of my first friends when I moved out here.
Yeah. That's nice.
Yeah. He also is just fantastic. He's so talented. Like, my whole family watches all the things. Like, my mom will text me like, Zach was on Criminal Minds last night. And I'm cool, mom. Like, why are you sending me screenshots of Zach's scene? Like, why is this? So sick? I'm so happy for him too. But like, why are you knowing that before even Zach knows that it's right. there? My family's really creepy.
And then you also had comedian Eric Griffin from Workaholics.
Yes.
How's he?
He's the best.
Yeah. Is he super, is he friendly?
He's really mean. I'm just kidding. And he's been an amazing supporter too. He comes to all of our screenings.
Cool.
Like, he comes to all of them. He actually opened for the movie when we were up at Cinequest in San Jose. Mm. And so he like did his comedy bit, and he always compliments me. He especially likes me. I especially like him. No, but he is fantastic. And then, he was a fantastic piece of the movie. You know,
sweet.
Everyone recognizes him.
Cause he's a comedian I look up to. So I'm always like, is this person nice? And I'm afraid to like talk to him. That whole, you know, high school stuff. He's a senior.
Yeah, he's in the varsity
he's
team.
He's a cool senior.
No, he's been super, super supportive, which has been awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What else, guys? I'm trying to think.
You guys are going to make... Okay, since you made this first one.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And this is...
Good question. Yeah. What's up the pipeline?
Yeah. Was, yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry. give me a second.
Yeah, I mean, like, what... Since you made this first one, and I'm assuming it was... I mean, sounds like it was pretty, like, error-free. So, like...
Relatively.
Relatively.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like... What's next for you guys? Are you guys going to write another one? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you want to?
Well, I'm actually.
Give us a scoop, goddammit.
As soon as we wrap this, I'm actually going to go home and continue working on the second draft of a beautiful script that Victoria wrote. She cranked out the first draft of this script. It's a coming of age story, takes place. We're going to shoot it in Maryland, which is where Victoria's from.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she wrote this beautiful script in 2 weeks, and now I'm just sort of workshopping it on my own, sort of, you know, pulling it together, tightening the bolts, so to speak. And we plan on shooting that later this year.
Yeah. Yeah, we should be in production, you know, all green lights around August. So we should have the script done at the end of this month and then just start pre-production like instantly after that.
Cool. Now, you say coming of age. Can you give us more of a plot line?
Yeah, so I'm still like... preparing its sweet log line, that piece that's going to make everybody just go and be like, I have to follow
this. Is it about a woman named Age, and it's about her masturbating? Coming of age.
How did you know?
The coming of age.
Can we get more dad jokes in on this? Just tread that line between dad and son joke.
I'll see what I can do.
So it's actually based on a real life experience, a set of experiences that I had.
Masturbating.
Okay. Yes, thank you. And it has a little bit of thrill in there. There's certainly some drama, and then you know it's really about like how do you overcome like a series of traumas in your life? Like how do you do anything in your life? Like how does anyone who has some sort of trauma like go and then, you know, try and prosper and literally live a full life after something happens to you? And then we definitely sprinkle in comedy and thrills because like who wants to watch sadness for a whole, no, nobody does. So it's very fun with all the, you know, the French.
Yeah.
Do they? Do the French like sad?
French like sad a lot.
Tinder day. Okay. Yeah. I told that story. I'm looking at my notes here.
Oh yeah. We're just going to pretend like this isn't happening. Just pretend like we're doing something else.
Should we do like a gotcha moment where I tell Brandon, we've already met and you don't remember me?
When did we meet?
No, gotcha. That's classic gotcha journalism here. You and I met in Pan Pacific Park.
Pan Pacific Park.
Yes.
Where's that?
It's right by the Grove.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So this was back in like Vine days. You were shooting, I think it was George Janko's Vine. You were there. And so was the other guy.
Josh Peck?
Not Josh Peck, but it's a guy. He's ever so slightly older than the other Vine crew. And he has like, kids and he would
Jason
always.
Nash.
Jason.
No, not Jason, but the other one. Was it Josh Darnett?
Josh Darnett.
That's the one. Yeah. It was him. And then George, me. You guys, and then like maybe one other person, but you know, you guys were the most famous ones there, so you're the ones I remember.
Yeah, so you didn't make eye contact with her.
No. I remember. I spit on you. That's what I remember.
That's what you did. Yeah. And that's how I remember. Yeah. No,
it's
it was really.
Back
it's
now.
All coming back now.
That's now it makes sense.
Yeah. I saw you give me like a slightly longer like, hey, Victoria.
Yeah.
You again.
I need to work on my level of gullibility. Because I believed you.
Yeah, you looked at me like, what, you spit on her?
I thought it was going to be an awkward story. Like, you said hello, and then, like, spit came out of your mouth.
Sorry. You're turning into that girl that we both dated. Wait, you spit on her? That's not
That's not kind.
That's not kind. No, it was a joke.
Not malicious.
Me too,
a comedy video. You filmed it?
What was the... Do you remember what we were doing?
I don't even think this Vine ever saw the light of day. I remember probably it being kind of like, it was okay.
Yeah.
And then you guys put me way in the background. I had no following at the time. So George was like, you can be in the back. Why don't you try like picking a wedgie? And we'll see if anyone even recognizes that you're doing this in the background. And I was like,
I'm remembering this now.
It might have gone.
Because of what you just said.
Yeah, because it was going to be like a through line. Like I was going to be like this wedgie picking girl in like multiple vines. Yeah. I was like, is this how I break into Vine?
Yeah.
I'm not sure
break.
About
you got
the. That was my thing. That was my look. Was like that's what she's up to all the time. I actually don't even remember because I wasn't starring in it. So like, who remembers?
Right.
Like,
who cares?
Yeah. Right.
But no, you were actually really polite. I remember being like, wow, Brandon, I saw him on Vine, and then he's a really polite, well-mannered young man. Like, hello.
I was shocked by how happy you were when I first met you.
Really?
Yeah, what did you think? Like, hey, right in. Like? Hey, what's up? And I was like, oh.
What do you think I was going to be like?
Like your Instagram?
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, like really. Yeah, like, more, really. More. Like, I asked the same question to Heath, and he was like, yeah, I didn't. I was surprised that you were not an asshole. And I was like, really?
I didn't think you'd be an asshole. I thought you'd be like less socially skilled.
Oh, I get that. No, I get that. Yeah. I totally get that.
I really like that comment.
Socially skilled.
I'm going to use that. Trademark, I do.
Yeah, but you were cool. You were smiley, shaking hands, eye contact. And I was like, oh, I thought he was mentally disabled.
Yeah. I didn't know what to expect from you. I was like, fuck, man.
This is going
to
be a psycho.
This is going to be a psychopath dressed in makeup like the Joker. What's going to be going on here?
Nope, just me. Melancholy Dune.
Yeah.
Wait, how did you two meet? What was the meet cute there?
It's funny you should ask. A dating app. Raya. Just kidding. We met through Vine. An app.
A dating app. Because a lot of people have met the love of their life on there and then since broken up. Mm-hmm. But no, people did date on Vine as well. But we didn't. We just met on there.
We didn't date.
Well, wait, did you? So were you guys part of a collaboration and you just met on the set of that Vine? Or did one of you slide into the other's like Vine comments?
Well,
like,
it was,
hey, bruh.
We followed each other for a long time.
Okay.
And then you were in LA and you were like, hey, let's meet up. And there was this place that every Viner used to go to called Mischievous.
Okay.
The studio.
It was a studio. Yeah.
Sets and shit.
And we met there because I was living there at the time.
You were living at the studio?
Yeah, for like a month because I just didn't know what. I was like, oh, I want to stay in LA, but I don't have any money and I don't have a place to live. So I just lived in this really, actually, it was a very nice studio.
Yeah.
But you came by and then we filmed that feminine homeless person Vine, which was just such a great bit. And then then the rest is history, big guy.
And here we are.
Ow. Sorry.
Yeah,
I just wanted to
the Vine days.
I wanted people to not know if I was smacking your arm or your ass because it kind of sounds like the same.
Whoa,
a little bit.
That was a deep slap.
It was
deep slap.
Deep slap.
That was Rye's like bicep.
That was my fucking muscle, dude. Mm. I went to the gym yesterday, guys.
Ooh,
I can tell.
What did you work? The seps.
Just the seps, pecs, tries.
Yeah.
I don't do legs.
That's good.
But speaking of gym and stuff, I am curious about this. What are your guys' like daily habits? Like, that's why I asked you what time you wake up this morning because I'm like interested. Because you guys seem very proactive, energetic.
Thank you.
Thank you. I feel tired all the time. I bite my nails. That's a habit. That's a daily habit.
Do you guys eat well?
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. So I'm actually really proud of my latest routine because I wasn't always, you know, like sometimes you just slide especially in the winter, you know, you're sliding into those like winter habits. Mm. But now I'm being very healthy. So I'm waking up around like 7, hitting the gym like straight away. So I'm doing like an 8 a.m. class and I'm not just, you know, loitering around in a gym. I'm in a class where everyone's watching and you have to perform. You better be burning those calories. So I'm doing that. Then I come home, I make breakfast usually for us because he's just getting out of bed. And then we start our day. We usually like write throughout the whole day, maybe lay out a little bit because we're in Los Angeles. Through in and out. You know, like we'll do little errands and then write. Like you do 3 or 4 hours of writing usually in a day, especially when you're workshopping something. And I'm workshopping like a pitch deck right now and he's doing the script. So we're both like really firing on all cylinders. And then around like, what did you say, like 7-ish, we kind of cut out. We'll either go see a movie or just kick it around the apartment.
So you
lots of food.
I mean, yeah, just as important as like writing for like a few hours every day. It's equally as important to break for the day and then watch a movie or
experience life so you have more material.
Do something relaxing for yourself.
Yeah. Victoria, you were over here the other day shooting a branded Instagram video.
Branded content.
And you had mentioned, what day was that?
Friday?
Think,
yeah.
You were like, oh, it's date night tonight. Do you guys have like
it was Thursday.
A certain date
night? Oh, is that Mastro's?
That was Mastro's. That's this was brag-worthy. So he took me to Mastro's, y'all. Mastro's Beverly Hills. What's up?
Look, they don't even know what it is.
I don't know. What it is. Mastro's.
Wow.
Trust me, it's out of my social circle, too. I don't...
It's also out of our budget, but we did it anyway. That was date night, and I think like every day is date night. Is that too cheesy to say? But it is.
Wow, it's fucking really cute, guys.
I know, right?
It's fucking really cute.
He's well, just a really generous boyfriend.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
You know,
I sounded so angry. It was fucking so cute, guys.
Every night we sit on the couch, we watch what she wants to watch. And
I watch your sad documentaries too.
Oh, you're a documentary guy? Oh,
I mean, yeah. I like documentaries or, you know, riveting dramas, you know, which is ironic because I want to make comedies most of the time, whereas Victoria wants to watch light comedies, but she wants to make dramas.
I see. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
That makes sense.
That's why we're so yin and yang.
I'm starting to watch less comedies, and I think it's because I do comedy, and I'm just thinking about it so much.
Right.
It's a nice little break. Yeah. So I've been getting into murder.
You just murdering
just
people?
Just doing that.
Documentaries, narratives.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
First person.
Podcast as well. Crime podcast.
Oh, yeah. There, yeah. I love a good crime podcast.
I just discovered Crime Junkie podcast. Good stuff. But don't listen to it if you're listening to this. Just listen to this podcast.
Only.
Forever.
Different
on
demographics.
Repeat.
That's right. Guys, we just started, we invented a new segment last week. And so let's get into this brand new segment and let's include them too.
Oh yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. Excited. So the first, well, since we're already talking about eating, we have a segment called What's Rye Eating?
Oh.
So it's a game.
Yeah. Well, I'll just share what I've been up to. Okay.
What he's been eating.
What he's been eating. Thank God. It's literally one loser. Okay.
Yeah.
So Brandon, do the theme song.
What was it again?
We don't have one. Oh. Just do it.
Rye likes to eat a lot. He doesn't have restraint. James Rye Dune, and he's late for his appointment with Haagen-Dazs. There you go.
You gotta say the usually.
Oh, what's eating rye?
Nope. What's rye eating?
What's rye eating?
Thank you for that theme song, Brandon. It is time for What's Rye Eating, where I share what I have been eating. Last night I had a good day. I ate clean. I had some chicken and spinach. For lunch.
This segment has some legs.
So boring.
This has legs.
Is this going to be his own spinoff? What's Rye eating?
What's Rye?
For dinner, I had spinach and steak.
Whoa.
And then I was like, I'm not going to eat any more tonight. Then it became like 12. It became midnight. And I was like, I want some cheese.
Mm.
So then I had two... string cheeses.
Nice.
Then I was like, oh, I got some smoked Gouda. Then I just had too much, just straight up smoked Gouda. Just chunks of smoked Gouda. And that is what Rye's been eating.
I know what your bowel movements look like.
Yeah. Straight cheese. I ate a block of cheese and it came out the same exact shape.
Wait, are you doing keto?
And taste.
Are you not doing keto?
I'm trying.
You're trying? Yeah.
So anyways, was that a good segment?
Yeah, I really felt like it captured everyone's attention for the entire, what was that, a 30-minute segment?
Yeah, it'll hold me accountable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've tried keto, but I always break. I'm highly addicted to sugar.
Sugar's not addictive.
I had some candy this weekend, and a chicken parm, some pizza, and a chicken parm sub. Yeah, so that's it.
Are we still doing what's
I think
rye
that's
eating?
It.
This is the after the credits. Like in Marvel movies, this is what you sit or is.
Yeah, of course.
This is the benefit.
We know what you're not eating based on the rotten bananas in your basket.
I got some rotten bananas. Wish you wouldn't have mentioned that. Please don't post that photo. Just kidding.
Definitely posting it.
Yeah, my bananas are so rotten that it was photo worthy. Victoria took a pic.
It was the second thing I took a photo of, second to Ralph. Ralph was first. Yep. Bananas were a quick second.
Thank you. So good segment. We started another segment called What's Eating Brandon?
That's what I was confused about.
Because, well, we'll just do it. All right.
Do you have to do the theme song?
He thinks he has cancer. He thinks he has AIDS. Maybe it's a tumor or it's just not fucking nothing and he's a psycho. What's eating Brandon?
Okay, so yesterday I was coughing a whole lot, right? I was coughing a lot.
Yeah.
Actually, I've been coughing for about a week.
Uh-oh.
And I went to the gym because I was like, oh, I got to start working out again.
Yeah.
And my back, okay, so I go to the gym and then the next day, my back is really hurting. And I'm going, oh, wait, those are my lungs. I've been coughing a lot. That means my lungs are about to explode and hit capacity. And I thought, should I call everybody and see that's like actually what's happening? And then I said, nope. And then that was it. What? I almost went to the doctor. I almost did. Jeez. But I didn't. I was just like, I'm probably not. You think this is a joke? This is real. Like, I actually did this.
You
I almost went to the doctor.
You haven't coughed at all here. So the cough is just over.
It's just gone now.
That's good.
But it was like when, because I've been coughing so hard for like a week that like yesterday I was like, oh yeah, lungs are going
to
explode because that's what happens when you cough for
me
a long
too.
Time.
Every year, like without fail, I
my
get
lungs
a cough.
Explode.
I get a cough for like a month or so.
Really?
Yeah.
It's really annoying.
And my lungs do feel like they're going to explode.
It's just something that was so weird about it. It was just like right in my back. Exactly where are your lungs? I'm right pointing here. To my back like I know where they are.
Here?
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So same on both sides.
Yeah, my back. But this, where my lungs are, it was really hurting. And every time I coughed, it would be like way worse.
Did it feel like a muscular pain?
It was probably muscular pain because I just started working out again. So.
From the gym.
It's probably just that. But I thought, hey, maybe let's go get an MRI done and get this checked out for sure because I don't know, man.
Wow, yeah.
But anyways.
Would you describe yourself as a hypochondriac?
No.
I would.
I wouldn't.
Really?
No.
You would describe Brandon as a hypochondriac or yourself?
That's the first thing I would say about him when introducing him to people. That's what I'll do from here on. This is my co-host, Brandon. Or this is Brandon. He's a hypochondriac and co-host. But I think he's a hypochondriac.
I think I'm hyper aware of my body. That's not hypochondriac. That just means that you're alert about your body. You know what I mean?
You're also a master at spin.
What?
You're a master at spin.
Not the class,
spin
the
class?
PR style.
Yeah, not the spin class.
What's
like
you know when you're trying to you're the publicist and you're spinning a bad story about your celebrity
like spinning
client.
Into something good. Exactly. got it. Yeah.
You've never heard of like spin doctor?
Spin doctor.
But we're talking about the gym, right. So it did seem kind of
like
spin.
I thought you meant spin. Yeah. I was like, I've never been to a spin class.
I stepped in. I handled it. Woman saves the day.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, no, I have a way of making myself not sound insane, which is. Good, I think, right?
Are you sure?
No.
He's a hypochondriac.
Fine.
I can confidently say most people probably spend their days doing that, trying not to sound insane.
Yeah. Mm. Whoa, bro. That's
Actively? See, I don't really actively think like, all right, don't sound crazy. Are you like actually an insane person just pretending to be real, to be normal?
Just be a normal
guy? I don't think so. But I constantly ask myself, what should I say next? Yeah. What is the best thing I could say?
Wait, that's what funny. Are you going to say next?
Yeah. Think about it. Ask yourself.
Give me some time, people. I don't know.
That's good.
He had to siphon out the crazy thoughts. So he's not ready.
There's 30 crazy thoughts, and you have to...
Yeah. I live with this, so, you know. I'm going home to the craziness.
She's better to ask than me. I don't know.
I'm way crazier.
What do you
crazier.
Think I'm going to say next?
A dad joke or a pun, definitely.
I do a lot of those.
Definitely. Nice. Any moment now, it's been a while.
Speaking of while.
What?
Trying to think of a dad joke.
Oh.
It's not happening because my comedy IQ is way too high.
Yeah.
So if you ever need a writer, like I said before, I'll make some puns.
I love
no
it.
Reaction.
Like well, you were gonna
yeah. <it's>
I wasn't sure if you were done, but no. You all this pun joke. You remember your sketch about puns? You have to make that with Rye.
Yes. Actually.
Yeah. Actually, you guys would be great together.
You actually would be great at this. I can say it because I don't care if you steal it or if you do, just anyway. Bring me in on it.
Sure.
But yeah, I came up with an idea for like a little comedy sketch that I want to shoot about a puns anonymous meeting. A group of people that can't stop making puns and it's ruined their relationships.
Yeah. I like it. Just like, we're just so unfunny. Something like that. Mm. I mean, I know that wasn't a pun. Whatever, guys. I'm stealing it.
Rye, you're off the collab list.
Shit.
Just kidding. We love you forever.
Thank you.
And always.
Well, it's about that time.
Okay.
You guys have been amazing guests. Promote yourselves. Where can people find you?
My name is Victoria Ferratz, and you can find me pretty much everywhere at I'm Victoria Ferratz, and our movie's name is Electric Love.
Mm.
And I am Aaron Fradkin, and you can find me at Aaron Fradkin. And I also want to say, first of all, thank you for having us here. This is truly amazing.
You're welcome.
And also, I want to make myself available for anyone who has questions about film distribution.
Cool.
Because it's a big secret. And it's, as filmmakers, you guys are creators. The big question is, how do you get your shit out there? and we're going through it right now. Well, we just went through it with this movie. And I sort of want to like make myself known to the world that I'm here to share information about budgets and how to make money from your little art projects.
That's nice.
So yeah.
Very cool of you.
Yeah.
Not cool of you. How come you didn't say that?
I know. As soon as he thanked you, I was like, oh, I missed the opportunity. No. And now if I do it, it's just, it seems so like pandering.
Like,
so.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I'm out of here. Also. Fuck this.
So yeah, Aaron Fracken with a D on Instagram and everything. Victoria Fratz with a Z.
Like end. Frat party with a cool Z at the end.
Ah, cool. Next movie.
Hi.
Brandon Calvillo. BJ Calvillo.
Calvillo.
I'm Ryan Dune. I'll put a link.
Ryan Dune.
For the trailer of Electric Love in the description of this podcast.
Thank you, Ryan.
And they can get it on Amazon, iTunes.
Yeah, Amazon, iTunes, Spectrum, DirecTV. Basically, anywhere that you can rent a movie is there.
Just digital. Block.
Yeah, anything.
Digital platform.
Yeah. So to say, the one Blockbuster left in the world, do they have it?
No. No. Maybe, actually.
Yeah, they only sell this DVD.
Yeah,
they don't sell anything
else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I highly suggest the movie. I think our audience would like it because they're in the dating world. Yeah. Our audience is young and they fuck. So they're going to love this movie.
Good God.
If there are any parents listening, we actually made it very PG. Although, what's its rating?
It's rated NC-17.
It's rated CERT 15 in the UK. That's all I know.
It should be at least 15.
Certified 15-year-old.
Certify yourself as a 15-year-old.
Well, we end every episode by shouting out our $25 patrons. And that is Steve Marshalek, Ross Miller, and Nicholas Caprio. Mm. Guys, we love you. Thank you so much for donating.
Big kisses.
Thank you.
Say their name. Steve Marshalek.
Steve Marshalek.
Nicholas Caprio.
Nicholas Caprio. Love him.
Ross Miller.
And Ross Miller. That's what they pay for, was it?
The extra.
Yeah, pay extra for that.
And you can support the podcast on patreon.com/ I'm sorry, Dad. I'm telling you guys that.
Can you donate like five bucks so we can go and pay.
Yeah. Can you use all the money you make from this movie and just give it to us?
So all $3.99 from Rise Rental, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Just give it straight to us.
And we haven't been active on Patreon, so you're not really getting any more bonus footage. Just give us your money.
Okay.
Great. All right, well, thank you guys for being on the pod. And we'll see you soon.
I like how you still didn't know if it was finished. You were just like looking at him like you didn't know.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is my moment.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, right. Should we end it how we always do?
Good.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Sorry, Dad.
I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Perfect.